It's always been the objective of the Relief Society since 1842 to bring the relief of Jesus Christ, both temporal and spiritual, to our sisters and brothers around the world. And this is a meaningful piece of that privilege and responsibility we have as His covenant children to look after and bless the lives of those that are around us. But this temporal and spiritual always go hand in hand. It's not just about filling bellies, it's about filling hearts and people feeling the love of our Savior. And I think that as I seek to exemplify Him, I feel the love of my Savior and my Heavenly Father.
This is Sarah Jane Weaver, Executive Editor of the Church News, welcoming you to the Church News Podcast. We are taking you on a journey of connection as we discuss news and events of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This March marks the 182nd anniversary of the organization of Relief Society of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. When the Relief Society was organized on March 17, 1842, Emma Smith, the church's first Relief Society president, said, "We are going to do something extraordinary. We expect extraordinary occasions and pressing calls." To commemorate the purpose and founding of the Relief Society, a worldwide Relief Society devotional will be held on Sunday, March 17th. Local ward and stake Relief Societies will gather together to hear a message from President Russell M. Nelson and the Relief Society General Presidency. The Presidency, President Camille N. Johnson, Sister J. Annette Dennis, and Sister Kristen M. Yee join this episode of the Church News Podcast, recorded at Welfare Square in Salt Lake City, to talk more about the upcoming devotional and the power of Relief Society to promote temporal and spiritual relief. The Relief Society presidency is joined by guest host, Church News reporter Mary Richards.
So there's so many things I want to start with, but I thought we could start and talk about some of what you've just experienced when walking around here at Welfare Square and seeing some of the efforts to provide temporal relief. Tell me about some of the people you met and what you saw this morning.
We were delighted to have the opportunity to meet some of the service missionaries and ask them what's most meaningful about being here. And almost in unison, they were all shaking their heads, said it's that they can convey the love of the Savior as people walk through the door. And we certainly felt it. There's a spirit that exists here, in part because the bread smells so good that they're baking. But importantly, the images of the Savior that we see on the walls and the light in the eyes of these service missionaries that are here to greet people. They've come, many of them, because they're in dire circumstances, but we hope they leave filled, not just that their temporal needs have been satisfied, but that they're filled with the love of the Savior. They receive that spiritual relief.
Those two go hand in hand, don't they?
They do.
Filling they
always do. Those needs, right?
There was a sister missionary we met too, and she said, "It's so neat to be here to realize where the tithing dollars go and how the Lord blesses." And she mentioned how faith blesses other people temporally. So it's that cycle. As we have faith to do what the Lord asks us to do, He can use that to bless so many others. And there's such a light here. There's such a spirit here. There's such an order here of cleanliness and standard. Mm-hmm. It's a different version, you could say, of the house of the Lord in a way, how we organize things. You could feel His spirit in this space, and how we do the work shows that this matters and that every individual who receives these goods matter.
Yeah, the Savior served one by one. That's what they're doing here. It's a one-by-one service, but there's so much that goes into it and so many that are here to bless the one. And as we bless the one, we bless many, but it's one-by-one, as the Savior did. So it's beautiful to be here.
Talk about the mission and purpose of the Relief Society hand-in-hand with the efforts here at Welfare Square of that temporal relief, reaching out to the one around the world.
It's always been the objective of the Relief Society since 1842 to bring the relief of Jesus Christ, both temporal and spiritual, to our sisters and brothers around the world. And this is a meaningful piece of that privilege and responsibility we have as His covenant children to look after and bless the lives of those that are around us. But you're right, this temporal and spiritual always go hand in hand. It's not just about filling bellies, it's about filling hearts and people feeling the love of our Savior.
And it's very personal, isn't it? It can be within our own sphere. We have the opportunity here in Welfare Square to assist those locally and those around the world in the humanitarian efforts. And we know that the sisters do this in their own spheres, in their own neighborhoods, in their homes. And that's where it begins. And so if they have the opportunity, we know that they follow the Spirit to bless those that have needs around them. And that begins temporal or spiritual. Mm-hmm. It might be something simple, but it's just as important.
I know there are many mothers with young children who feel like they're not doing anything because they're not able to go out and serve in the community and go out and do these humanitarian projects. But what they are doing in their own home, they don't realize that they are serving, taking the Lord's work forward by serving those children and their families and being there. And it's one of the hardest things that anyone could ever do is do that, but it's taking care of those little children.
Or an elderly parent.
Yes.
Or a disabled neighbor.
Right.
Or a friend that just needs to have someone to talk to.
Yeah.
That's all.
Just calling
someone. Yeah. So to be his hands, to be the listening ear.
Yeah. We have the blessing, because of our service in the Relief Society presidency, to look at needs on a global basis. But we know that the way that they're satisfied is one by one. That's how the Savior accomplished his work, is by addressing needs one by one. And so our outreach sometimes is in a very small circle because we have young children or an elderly parent that need our attention and care. But when our sisters provide service in the place that they're at, they are part of our global movement to bring the Savior's relief to our sisters and brothers.
I have a 97-year-old neighbor just up the street that I've been friends with for years and years. She's been in her home all that time, and she's still there. And when I have a few minutes, I'll run up and see her. And just the joy in her eyes, you know, I say, you know, hi, Louise, I love you. And she, just to be there and just talk for a few minutes, I can tell what it means to her. And then to pray together before I leave, it's a beautiful thing, but it's not something that's out there that, you know, I can think, oh, I'm helping the world. But I really am, because I'm reaching out to the one, and that's what the Savior did.
This is a global organization. We are part of this worldwide sisterhood, but it's also very local. Mm-hmm. And we're sisters together. Like you've said before, President Johnson, that service is helping be a part of this global efforts in humanitarian outreach, but also our neighbor across the street, our sister, our friend, or a stranger. There's this global and local feel, I guess, right?
Absolutely.
And it's all ministering.
Yeah.
It's all ministering. To Sister Dennis, she's talking about her neighbor. And I imagine Sister Dennis was also blessed because she went and blessed someone else. And that
very
beautiful
much.
Cycle. Mm-hmm. Every time I feel a little bit down or I need help or direction, I'm often pointed to look for someone else's needs. And every time find his relief.
Yeah.
As we take care of those around us, we find him. We find what we need. And he's designed it in such a way. That's the divine pattern. And President Johnson, you have a beautiful quote related to that.
Well, when we serve, when we are his hands and his feet or his listening ears or his kind speaking lips, then we receive his relief in return.
That's so beautiful. You mentioned how you see images of the Savior here around as you've walked through the different facilities here on Welfare Square. And it really is being his hands, his lips, like you were saying. Talk more about that idea of when you are serving others and bringing others to him, you get your own relief in return.
Well, I think we've all had personal experiences with that, where we felt the love of our Heavenly Father and our Savior most distinctly when we're doing something for someone else.
It's true. It can be even praying for someone else, just thinking about them and praying for them. And you feel that love of the Savior come to you as well as you're concerned for them and their welfare. And then those little thoughts of what you can do for someone else come, and it's beautiful. That's what ministering is about. It's about relationships. It's not about checklists. It's about forming these relationships where the Savior's love can come through, where we can help each other and love each other and lift each other and mourn with each other in those times where that we're mourning. It's beautiful. Ministering is beautiful.
Maybe if I can just mention, I was thinking that we, as sisters, I think as women, have an innate desire in us to give and to take care of others. It's just there. And so the Lord has organized an organization on the earth to act upon those natural parts of our bosoms and our hearts to help others. And I think, and to what Sister Johnson and Sister Dennis are saying, he often knows that we need to feel his love. And so if you go help someone else, then you can feel that love. And every time we serve, every time we feel love for someone else, we realize more and more how much he loves us. And so that reflects right back at us.
And women are given that capacity and that power and authority in those callings as a ministering sister. But in other ways, can you tell me more about the power and capacity and authority that women in this church are given?
Yes, through our priesthood covenants, beginning at baptism, where we are promised that the Lord will increase our capacity. We are promised this God's power to be in our lives. And especially as we make higher covenants in the temple, then we have that increased power in our lives. It's his power. It's priesthood power through our covenants, but it is God's power. It augments all of our natural gifts and talents and our abilities, and it helps us to be able to navigate life in a way that we couldn't on our own because we're yoked to the Savior and we have access to his power. And as we serve, as you said, even in whatever assignment it may be, ministering, we are given God's priesthood authority, the authority to represent him and be a light to others, I think. You know, we just have that authority to carry forward his work in whatever way it is that we're assigned to do.
And I think it's such a relief to know that it's his authority, that's his church, it's his work. And so we're not doing it alone. We don't have to do it alone. We were meant to. We were designed to depend upon a Savior for those things which we need. And it's not because we are defective. This is part of coming closer to Christ in that covenant relationship, to grow and to love him and to see his hand with faith. It's such a gift to know that we have the priesthood upon the earth and the authority delegated to us in our callings or assignments, in our ministering, to act in his name and to be his representative, to love others as he would.
And it's so important. I'm just going to add one thing in there. We have so many sisters that may be single mothers, or they are not yet married, or they are widowed or divorced, that may not have a priesthood holder in their home. And I love what President Nelson said to women, that often they feel like they don't have, in quotes, the priesthood in their home. They may not have a priesthood holder, he said, in their home, but they have God's power flowing through their priesthood covenants as they have made covenants with him in the temple and are keeping those covenants. So I think it's really important. As we've traveled around and talked to sisters, I've had sisters come up to me and say, thank you so much. My mother was a single mother, and all these years she felt so guilty that her children didn't have a priesthood holder in their home, but she didn't realize that because she was keeping her covenants, she could have God's power in her home to strengthen her family. And so I am so grateful that President Nelson has made this a great emphasis on the power of God that we have coming through our priesthood covenants as women.
And President Russell M. Nelson has said that when we yoke ourselves with the Savior, make covenants, then we are entitled to his relief and his rest. Mm-hmm. And yes. You've seen that, haven't you?
Absolutely. President Nelson invited the sisters to do what he described as the spiritually invigorating work, to understand more clearly what it means to be blessed by priesthood power, that is God's power in our lives, to strengthen our families and ourselves. And I think that it's worth it to engage in that spiritually invigorating exercise, to read with determination to understand and with an open heart the words of President Russell M. Nelson related to the blessings associated with making and, importantly, keeping covenants in the house of the Lord. And we as a presidency have certainly made it a priority to talk about the blessings associated with covenant keeping. We hope that for all of our sisters, that they see that covenant connection as protective and empowering. We're never, ever alone when we are in a covenant relationship with God.
Which is such a comfort and a gift to know that we are never alone in our decisions, our challenges, that we can have that conversation in prayer with the Lord to understand what we need to do in all situations, temporal and spiritual. And as a single sister, I think this has been such a important and beautiful part of the life, is to know Heavenly Father in this way. But whether we're married or single, this is what He intends for all of us, is to have that close relationship, to turn to Him, to counsel with Him, to know that we were never meant to do this work alone, never meant to go through the challenges alone, that we would have that partnership with Him.
I don't think our sisters fully understand what it means to have access to and make use of the priesthood power that's available to us as covenant keepers. As a young person, I wasn't taught about it, frankly, or it was an abbreviated presentation that I learned. And we're learning so much more about it by virtue of the teaching from President Nelson. But I had a conversation with a sister not long ago where she told me about how she had been given a task that she thought was way beyond her. But she said, I really was deliberate about trying to do my part and to do my very best. I was prayerful. I followed the instructions of the priesthood leader who had given me the assignment. I was in the temple and I was doing my best. And she said, in what felt like a miracle, she was able to accomplish what she didn't think she could do. And I looked in her eyes and I said, well, I think that's priesthood power. That's what that was. And she looked so puzzled. And I think it's because she just never thought of it that way. And then she got this big grin on her face and said, well, of course, that must be what it is. That access to God's power had increased her capacity to do something that was righteous and asked of her. And that's available to all of our sisters who are making and keeping covenants. And we hope that our sisters in the Relief Society will have a deeper understanding of what that means, what it looks like, how they can access and make use of God's power in their lives.
And we hope that our younger sisters, too, that are young women that are coming up on graduating from high school, or, you know, that are 18 or over, that they will consider doing that they will pray about it, because if they desire that covenant relationship with their Heavenly Father and all of the privileges and blessings that come with it, they don't have to have a mission call or be engaged to be married to be able to enter the house of the Lord and make those covenants, receive their endowments. So we hope that they will consider that.
And then join the Relief Society.
And join the Relief Society.
They belong to the Relief Society.
Yes.
When they're 18.
Yes.
And we hope that they feel welcome and that they belong there. I think our young people especially are interested in making a difference in the world. They want to be part of a global movement for change. They want to see the world better. And what greater cause could they be engaged in than that of the Relief Society, bringing the Savior's relief to our sisters and brothers everywhere?
And you know, you think about the youth have the opportunity to serve now. They also, young women and young men, have the opportunity to minister with companions. And that's an opportunity to learn how to minister with those in Relief Society or those in Elders Quorum. And when they do, they'll have connections and make friendships and also have a better opportunity to enter with knowing they have connections in Relief Society. I have a companion for the last year who was a young woman, about 17. And together we ministered to a sister in her 70s with some health issues and who was returning to activity. And together we both had accountability. Together we counseled. Together we prayed. And so there's opportunities there to help our youth to minister now, whether it's in official assignment or it's in their within their own quorums, if they're taking care of their families, but helping them to see that they are keeping their covenants now, not just when they go into Relief Society, not just when they go into Elders Quorum, but they see now that they're keeping their covenants. They realize it's a lifelong discipleship that they're a part of.
I actually hope our primary children start to think of their efforts as ministering too, because it's not something we start doing when we're 14 and can have a ministering assignment, or when we're 18 and join the Relief Society or the Elders Quorum. Yes. But our primary children minister when they look around and recognize the needs of their friends and address them.
They're some of the best ministers,
even
to the adults.
It's a little more natural for them, isn't it?
It was interesting. I was going to speak in a state conference, and there were two 11-year-old children sitting next to me to speak in state conference. And it was beautiful because they're members of the church. They can speak in sacrament meeting or state conference, give prayers. But as I turned to the boy that was sitting next to him and I said, "Are you nervous?" He said, "No, this is great. This is going to be so fun." And I thought, wow, look at this generation. This is wonderful.
We have the exciting opportunity this year to celebrate the 182nd anniversary of the Relief Society, like a birthday party in a way. Tell me about the unique devotional and opportunity that we have to hear from our prophet, President Russell M. Nelson, and from each of you.
Well, we're so excited by this opportunity, and we're thrilled that President Nelson would give a message directly to the sisters. And we know that will be the highlight of the evening, to hear from him. And we've also prepared messages for the sisters that we hope will bless them and lift them. There's an important element to this, and that is the testimony meeting that will come after. In days past, we used to have Relief Society testimony meetings. And I know I always appreciated those. There were sisters that maybe wouldn't walk to the front of the chapel on a testimony meeting in a full congregation, who were willing to share their testimonies in a more intimate environment with their Relief Society sisters. So we're hoping that they'll have that opportunity and that same experience here to express their testimony of Jesus Christ. I know for myself, each time I have the opportunity to declare my witness that Jesus Christ lives, my own testimony is strengthened. And so there's something about standing on your feet and saying it out loud. And for those that don't have the opportunity to bear testimony that evening, we hope they'll share their testimonies in a way that can bless the lives of their friends and their neighbors.
It will be beautiful to think about women all over the world meeting on the same day, coming together. I've heard from women as I've been traveling that are so excited to come together as sisters and be able to hear the leaders and our prophet, special message for them, and be able to bear testimony to one another. We are millions strong, and we are a global sisterhood. And part of that coming together is to help us feel like we are unified, that we are one as a Relief Society, as a global sisterhood. And so we imagine Relief Society sisters all over the world that night or that evening that will be together bearing testimony. I'm going to have the opportunity to be in Armenia that day, and we are gathering with the Armenian sisters to watch the broadcast and to bear testimony together. And I'm just so grateful for that opportunity to know that I have Relief Society sisters in Armenia and all over the world. Wherever we go, we are a sisterhood.
And sisters love to gather, don't they?
Yes. We missed
yes,
it.
Yes.
Every time we hold a meeting where there's a women's conference, or where it's always more people come than expected, and sisters are hungry. We are all hungry to be together and gather in his name. Something always wonderful happens when we come together. I remember a brother who was there on assignment filming one of our conferences, and so he sat through the whole women's conference. This was in Nauvoo. And then afterward, he came to me. He's like, "Is it always like this?" And I said, "Yes." He's like, "This is incredible. The spirit and power that comes when these sisters come in faith, desiring to receive. And we come with a desire to offer, as is our prophet. And then the Savior is the bridge. And he provides that love, that relief, that belonging, the healing in our hearts through his spirit and his atoning sacrifice is real. And we receive it when we come in his name."
That's interesting, because I had the same experience in Pittsburgh. I did a women's conference, and there was a bishop there that was there for the whole thing. And he got so emotional through that. The spirit was so strong. And he said after, "I don't know if I've been in a more spiritual meeting." And then that next day, we visited his ward, and he still, his emotions were very high as he directed the meeting. He talked about that and the experience he had had and the spirit that had been there with great emotion.
And I'm happy that they're touching the men's hearts when they're out and about teaching and speaking.
Yes.
We hope the sisters' hearts are equally touched. It's really true, though. There's something almost tangible when the sisters come together and you invite them to reflect upon the blessing it is to be a woman, mm-hmm. to be a covenant daughter of God, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. There's an image behind us here where we're filming of the Savior, and his mother Mary and Mary Magdalene are right there with the rest of the disciples following him and trying to do their part to serve as he would serve. It's a beautiful image and a nice reminder that his disciples include
women.
The women.
It seems like we need to do all in our power to invite everybody to come on March 17th to be a part of this. And it can be an intimate gathering with those that you know and love and feel comfortable sharing your testimony with. But then remember that it is part of this global gathering of sisters to celebrate this anniversary of this remarkable organization that, and you've mentioned this too before, President Johnson, the idea of this extraordinary occasions and pressing calls.
Extraordinary occasions and pressing calls. Yes. Those were the words of Emma Smith at the time that the Relief Society was organized. And certainly we continue to have those pressing calls. Certainly one of them is to provide for the temporal needs of our brothers and sisters everywhere, but the spiritual needs as well, preparing them for the blessings of a covenant relationship in the house of the Lord.
And that's the purpose of Relief Society.
Always has been from the very beginning.
And it hasn't changed. We think that the history is past us or something, that they were doing the exact same things we are doing today. They're preparing for the blessings of the house of the Lord and for exaltation.
Yeah.
When we come together to celebrate, we're not just celebrating a date, but we're commemorating or we're celebrating our purpose that the Lord has given us as women upon the earth to do his work and to help God's family come unto him and to receive exaltation. It's the same beautiful, powerful, ultimate objective.
And we do that by providing his relief.
You shared on social media, President Johnson, a day in your life in the office, and the comments and people were overwhelmed. They were excited to see that. And I had no idea. You are so busy. You do so much. Tell us a little bit more about what it is like. Give us a little bit of behind the scenes of what you do as a Relief Society General Presidency.
Well, I start my mornings on my knees. And while I get ready in the morning, I actually listen to the words of President Russell M. Nelson. It's the very best way for me to start my day, is to hear his voice and his reassurance of the promises that are available to us if we follow the prophet, the Lord's mouthpiece, and the watchman on the tower. But then we get to the office and we pray a lot there too. Always seeking heaven's help to do what the Lord would have us do. That's who we want to please. And we do spend a lot of time during the week in meetings. We're engaged in work to bless welfare and self-reliance efforts, humanitarian efforts, working with the presiding bishopric on those matters, literacy efforts. What sort of instruction do our stake and ward Relief Society presidencies need? Temple and family history.
I was just thinking, as far as what we do in the office every day, there are so many things pulling for our time, obviously.
And that's why we pray a lot.
We pray. The preparation is everything. And then we listen for his help, and things either recede or they rise. And to watch for how he's trying to help us focus our energies is so important, because it's going to be done in his way and his time. And just because we have time in our head, let's say if I have 2 hours to write a talk, that inspiration may not come then.
Yeah.
He has a way of doing it comes when it comes. And so there's a lot of learning, continual trust in his timing, continual trust in his guidance and his wisdom that he will provide, that he will provide, that he will be present, that he will bless his daughters in the way he intends. And there's a constant reliance upon him.
And we've seen that so many times, that investing in the process of receiving inspiration and revelation, counseling in councils, so that we can glean what the Lord would have us know, always, then we get it right. And sometimes we just have to be patient with his timetable. But when we are, we're blessed.
And we see his hand.
Every time.
It becomes clear that it's him. And I think that's maybe perhaps why.
The natural woman in us just says, well, let's just get this done. And giving that up and saying, your timetable has been a great learning experience for me. On your time.
In your way.
And that's just showing, you know, many people think that the general officers and general authorities, that the revelation just comes so quickly, and it's not. No, it's work. It's a lot of work. We also have to ponder and study and seek and all the things that all of us as children of God need to do to be able to find what His will is. And we have to do the same thing. It is great work. But it's
letting,
work.
Letting God prevail.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, trusting Him. Mm-hmm. And then we serve on the General Welfare Committee that includes the 12, of course, the first presidency and the presiding bishopric. Just earlier today, we were out in front of those grain silos, and they hold great significance to the Relief Society sisters. It was in 1876 that Emmeline Wells was asked by Brigham Young to begin a grain storage program. So the sisters started growing wheat and harvesting wheat and gleaning wheat and selling wheat. And because of that, they were able to provide relief to people after a large earthquake in California. And after World War I, they actually sold a great deal of wheat to the United States government at a time when wheat was scarce. Mm-hmm. The proceeds from that, or the interest income from their wheat endeavors, funded largely their health initiatives, hospitals and training nurses and midwives and those kinds of things. That wheat program was eventually turned over to the church. But the Relief Society now, just step back and think about it. We had a wheat program starting in 1876. Now the Relief Society General Presidency serves on the General Welfare Committee, making decisions not just about wheat, but the distribution of the funds of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints to organizations and people around the world. So it's really quite a marvelous progression of things. But it was a sweet opportunity today to be there in front of those silos where we continue to store wheat.
And I would say, too, that on these councils, including this one, the men listen to the women. The women have a voice. They are very much heard. Our first presidency loves the input of the women leaders. They listen. And all of these, of the 12 and all of those that we work with on these councils, they are very sensitive to the opinions and the insights of the women and feel that our council, our contribution to those councils is very valuable. They are so willing and eager to hear our perspectives.
That is beautiful. Can each of you share an anecdote or something with us about what Relief Society means to you?
I can just share something that happened when we were in Jamaica last year. We met with a group of women, and as these sisters spoke about the challenges they had, some had such difficult things that they had gone through. And I remember these two sisters that were sitting to my right, and as the one spoke, and the next one, it was her turn, and she turned to her and said, "We have been friends for years. I didn't know you were going through that. I would have been there for you if I had known." And at the end of this hour, these sisters were just, were hugging and were giving each other support, were helping each other feel the Lord's love for them. They live in a place of great violence. Many of them have to stay in their homes. They can't even go out and visit neighbors. They go to work, they go to church, but they're not with each other all the time. So when they are together as sisters, that joy and that bond that they share is so wonderful, but I believe that they don't share the difficult things happening. But in that group, as they shared, they were able to strengthen each other and lift each other and bear one another's burdens. And it was so beautiful. And to me, that's what Relief Society is.
Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking of all the different ministering experiences I've had throughout my life. But I just think of all the women that I've sat with, cried with, received help from. It's such a gift that we've been given as women to receive and to offer relief. And I think I've made so many beautiful friendships and sisters. I remember in particular when I was in my mid-20s, I had a sister in her mid-60s who was assigned to me. And she came over. You'd look at us and think, there's nothing in common between these two. Different lives, different things we were doing. But I was going through a time where I was considering a big change in my life, and we would walk around the block. We'd walk and talk, and she and I just became the closest of friends. And we prayed together for each other's needs and found the Savior amidst us as we sought to help one another. And we're so strengthened by the simplest of things, of caring, of listening. It wasn't grand gestures. It was often just in kindness, and it wasn't taking time. And we came to feel of his relief through one another. And I still today, you know, as a ministering assignment, but it's an assignment from the Lord. And it's not cold, and it's not an opportunity to love, an opportunity to receive love. And I think in many ways, that's what the Lord desires for us here, is to receive and offer his relief, and to do so in the ways that are natural to us, in the ways that come to our hearts. And we act upon the Spirit and the promptings. We'll find we don't just change small things, but miracles happen when we listen to those promptings.
And I think I'm learning that if we have a sincere desire, the Lord will put us right where he needs us when he needs us to be there. And I guess as I reflect upon my experience serving in the Relief Society General Presidency, I just think of so many times where I've thought I was right where I needed to be for the one. We were doing a ministering visit when I was in the Philippines, and the sister had been chosen, I think, because she hadn't been to church for some time. She had an adult daughter that was living in her home, and I don't think the people that chose this family for a ministering visit had really thought much about her. She was in her 30s, and she wasn't initially part of our encounter. She was kind of back behind a curtain, and I encouraged her to come and sit with us, and so she pulled out a little kind of three-legged stool and sat there with us, but I felt so distinctly she was the reason that we were there. And I told her that and invited her to express her understanding of the love that Heavenly Father and the Savior had for her, and it all started to come back to her. I just don't think she'd been invited to be part of something like that, or to actually express testimony. And as it turns out, she had it. She had it in her. She knew she was a daughter of God, that she was loved and that she was needed in his kingdom. She had a small 7-8-year-old daughter herself. And we left there with her feeling committed to return to what she knew was right and good, and to be back at church and to take her daughter there. But it was just so interesting. We were there. Mm-hmm. We were there when she was there. We were there when her heart was open and could extend invitations. But that's the case for all of us, not just for those of us who serve for a season in the Relief Society presidency. Mm-hmm. All of us can be that one who addresses the needs of the one if we're sensitive to the promptings of the Spirit and have a sincere and open heart with a desire to bring the Savior's relief to others.
At the end of every Church News podcast, we ask the question, what do you know now? So we'll invite each of you, and we'll start with Sister Yi. What do you know now about the Relief Society and God's love for his daughters?
What's interesting is I think I realize I know less about the greatness of God's love for us. I'm realizing we just have begun to understand and see his love in such powerful ways. We've seen him address the needs of others and tailor one message to millions. He knows how to speak to his children. He knows how to meet their needs. And I had a little glimpse here and there of more of what, how much he loves us, but I don't think we realize. And I think he'll continue to teach us as we're ready to understand it. But it is so great and so vast, and it permeates all that we do. And it's at the heart of this work is his love. It's not about getting step, step, check, check. It's becoming and feeling and understanding a relationship with God. It's all about a relationship with him. That covenant relationship we have is everything. And in it, we have a safe place to grow. And I think I know now more of his redeeming power than I ever have. And I hope to continue to understand that. But I am so grateful for his goodness and his mercy. And it comes through as we keep our covenants that we can have the opportunity to change. That's marvelous. It's miraculous. And it's because of love.
And Sister Dennis, what do you know now?
after having worked in this presidency for now a little over a year and a half, and working so closely with apostles and the first presidency, I know that they care and are very aware of the women of this church, and that they care very much about us. I have seen that, their concern and their care and their pleading with the Lord for direction in behalf of the women. I have felt their love, and I felt the love of my Savior and Heavenly Father through them, and that love for the sisters of the world. I also know that the Lord can work through any of us. After I was called, I said, well, this is a testament that the Lord calls the weak and the flawed, because, you know, we all are. We're human. But He can work through us all if we have a desire to follow Him, and if we have a desire to look for His counsel. He can work through any of us. I know He works through me. I'm not perfect, but He can work through me because I desire to follow Him and seek what He wants me to do. And if that's the case, then He can work through all of our sisters in whatever calling or assignment they have. I also have felt His love for the one, as I have been with sisters here in Utah and in other parts of the country and around the world. It's been amazing to me to see how He is aware of each person, how He knows them and can tell them. He can show them that love if we're looking for it, if we're trying to be aware of His hand. He can do it in ways that are just miraculous, small ways. But I have come to have such a testimony of His love for His daughters. He loves His daughters just as much as He loves His sons. There is no doubt in my mind about that. That is what I know now more than ever.
And President Johnson?
Well, I know that our Heavenly Father and our Savior Jesus Christ love all of their children. And I think there's a special place in their heart for the women. I do know that our sisters can feel the love of God when they express that love to others. I know now that as I serve as the Savior's hands or feet, when I try to express words as He might, as I seek to exemplify Him in my imperfect way, I feel the love of my Savior and my Heavenly Father. I am certain that President Russell M. Nelson is the Lord's mouthpiece. I feel the love of my Heavenly Father and my Savior when I read His words, when I listen to His words, because they are spoken to us as if they are coming straight from our Savior, whose church He leads. I know that with all the conviction of my heart.
You have been listening to the Church News Podcast. I'm your host, Church News Executive Editor Sarah Jane Weaver. I hope you have learned something today about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints by peering with me through the Church News window. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast so it can be accessible to more people. And if you enjoyed the messages we shared today, please make sure you share the podcast with others. Thanks to our guests, my producer, Kellyanne Halverson, and others who make this podcast possible. Join us every week for a new episode. Find us on your favorite podcasting channels or with other news and updates on the church on thechurchnews.com.